Over the next 2 weeks, we're going to be exploring the 23rd Psalm, which I believe to be the ultimate psalm of joy. Joy might be something that seems in short supply right now, but I'm convinced that joy is one of the most important traits that we need to get through times like this. Because joy isn't an emotion, joy isn't a feeling, joy is a state of being. Joy is a way of perceiving the larger world. And joy is directly tied to the gift of our relationship with God. Before we get started, let's pray. God, you call us to be a people of joy. You came so that we could experience your joy, so that we could see it and feel it and touch it and live it. I have come so that your joy may be complete. Help us remember and to live into your joy, no matter what obstacles and difficulties life face, so people can see what it means to be an Easter people, a people who believe that nothing can ever separate us from you. Amen. One of my professors in seminary used to love to say, the whole point of faith is that God wants us to become God's friends. Now, maybe that sounds like an odd claim. It's not generally how we are taught to think about faith, nor is it generally how we are taught to think about Scripture. For whatever reason, we always seem to find ways to turn the Scriptures into a kind of a threat. One that imagines a God that is always demanding something of us. We see it as a story about laws and rules and regulations. The things we must do if we want God's blessing or healing or whatever else we might want from God. And this way of approaching the Bible, it creates an endless cycle of demand and failure and guilt and sacrifice. But this, I'm convinced, is exactly the opposite of what God intended. God desires the Scriptures to be understood as one long love letter from God to us. It's God's generous gesture of friendship. And that's because the whole point of faith is for us to become God's friends. With all the frustration and delight, the familiarity and the strangeness, all the mystery, all the excitement and discovery and boredom, which comes alongside all friendships. And like any good friend, the last thing God wants is to make God's friends feel guilty. No, the thing God wants most is for us to have joy. As Jesus himself said, I have told you all this so that my joy may be in you and so that your joy may be complete. Sure, God gives us the Ten Commandments, because God wants to show us 10 good ways to live, but even more important than that are the 10 joys which God offers us in the 23rd Psalm. The commandments throughout Scripture, they're only there to help us experience God's joy, because it's the joys that last forever. The joys are what's permanent. So each week for the next 2 weeks, we're going to explore 5 different of these joys that are found in the 23rd Psalm. These joys which God promises to us as simply a byproduct of our eternal friendship. So let's look at the first 5 joys which God offers us today. The first joy, God makes me lie down in green pastures. As Peggy noted, this psalm begins by having us thinking like a sheep, and not just any sheep, but a sheep who is used to finding nothing to eat. This psalm wasn't written in Colorado. It was written in Israel, a barren land with a climate like West Texas, where green pastures can be hard to find. But here, God tells us to imagine we are a sheep with acres of green pasture, so much of it that we can lie down in it, an abundance that is even too much for us to eat. For a sheep, that's as luxurious as it gets. And if you're not a sheep, Just think about what it feels like to lie on your back in a meadow and stretch wide your arms and legs and breathe in the air and stare deep in the far blue beyond and take it in forever. This is the first joy that God promises, the first joy that God whispers to each one of us. I want you to have an abundant life. I want you to have plenty. I want you to have enough to have some to spare. Number two, God leads me beside still waters. If you've ever gone on a long hike through the mountains, then you know what this means. You can't take lots of water with you because that would be too heavy. And because you know that the water in the streams is fresher than anything else that you can find on the earth. But often when hiking, the fresh water is hard to reach because it's in a torrential waterfall or a whitewater river. Or perhaps in the summer, there's just not much of it, or it collects together in a stagnant pond. In this psalm, God takes us to a place where the water is flowing fast enough to be fresh, but not so fast that we can't drink it. Here is God's joy. I want you to have fresh, flowing, accessible water. I want you to know what it's like to have cold water flowing down on your tongue and into your mouth and over your cheeks and down your neck and everywhere. God's third joy. God restores my soul. During my senior year of college, a group of friends and I spent our spring break hiking the mountains of Tennessee. It was supposed to be a simple 5-day hike. But as soon as we started hiking, the temperatures plummeted and some of my friends were not prepared. On the first and second night, I remember us six guys cramming into a small 4-person tent to try to keep warm. And during the third day, it began to snow hard. There were times when we were lucky to see the path that we were supposed to be hiking on. Fortunately for us, we had planned to hike to a cabin to sleep in on that third night. We got there very late, very wet and hungry and cold. The snow, it kept coming down all night and most of the following day. We decided to spend an extra day in that cabin. And by that point, us six guys, we were all so tired of one another, tired of being wet, tired of eating ramen noodles. But I will never forget the last day of our hike. We were determined to make up that last day. And on that final day, the cold subsided. The sun shined bright and never has 40 degrees felt so warm. Quickly, all the weariness, all the frustrations, they just oozed away. And we were just overjoyed to finally be able to experience the beautiful wilderness of Tennessee, glistening snow and all. And that's exactly God's third joy to us. You'll get worn out. You'll get worn down. You'll have absolutely nothing left. But I will bring you back to life. There is little comparable to that feeling of coming back to life, to having our souls restored. Like seeing an old friend after a long absence who is able to make you laugh until you're hollowed out inside and you can't help but think, life is good when I am with you. I'm pretty sure this is going to be the feeling when we are able to worship together in person again. That's what God means when God whispers, I will restore your soul. Number four. God leads me in right paths for God's name's sake. Often the hardest thing in life is to know what path to take. And I'm convinced that this is why this season of life is so draining. We have so many decisions to make and we face so many unknowns. We really have no idea of what tomorrow's going to bring. However, often in life, even when we are fairly certain that we have selected the right path, that path veers in an unexpected direction. It's simply hard work to know how to make life work, how to fit all the bits together and to find meaning and purpose in our lives. But here God reminds us that no matter what life throws our way, that God is going to be there, helping us find the good ways, helping us navigate the troubled times and walking with us through the storms. And then the final joy for today, which I think might be the most important of the entire 10. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, for you are with me. It's clear that God's joys are not about a fantasy land of make-believe. We've already acknowledged our human limitations in naming our weariness and of finding the right paths. And here we face the reality of our fear of death. And at this moment, God whispers the most important word in the entire Bible, with. That's the word that sums up the entirety of Scripture. That's the word that articulates that friendship really is the heart of God. God created us because God wanted to be with. God called Israel because God wanted to be with. God came among us in Jesus because God wanted to be with. God comes in our midst in the power of the Holy Spirit because God wants to be with. And God has saved us because God wants to be with us forever. That experience of being with, that's the center of our faith. And that's the essential understanding of what it means to say God is love. And that's why we find it today at the center of our psalm. You are with me. This is the center of God's joy, the center of all the Bible, and the center of our faith. These are just a few of the joys that we are offered by the God who wants nothing more than to be our friend. Joys that are promised to us simply because God loves us and likes us and enjoys us. They flow out of God's abundance, which God longs for all. Next week, we're going to look at the final five. But right now, amid all the difficulties of life, what your friends, your family, what the world needs most is to see the joy that God promises us all. The world needs to see this joy in you. If you're struggling to sense much joy right now, know you're not alone. But this doesn't mean that God's promises are any less real. They're there. So if you find yourself on the hunt for joy this week, and if it seems a bit out of reach, I challenge you to read Psalm 23 whenever that trouble hits you, whenever you need to see a bit of joy. And when you read it, or when you think about it, remember that these promises, that they are the promises which God makes to you. Amen.